I've been in Ezekiel every day for 7 days. I can't get out of Ezekiel. It has never been more alive than it is right now. Harvey and I have known for years, God told us we will have Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah ministry, preaching repentance to America, that the time is coming that repentance begins, judgment begins at the house of God first. Before he judges America, he will judge his own people. And Ezekiel is all about that. Ezekiel was sent to tell Israel they needed to repent. And just, I'm having a hard time starting at the very beginning because I'm already up in like chapter 22, so it's all brewing in me. One thing that broke my heart this week from Ezekiel, we've thought about Sodom and Gomorrah, where the society was homosexual. We think about America with the abortions that have gone on, murdering babies. We think about the extreme sin of America and how similar it is to that time when God destroyed a whole city because of that type of sin. And we look at them and think, woe to America. Woe to America for all the wickedness, the violence, the murder, the abuses, the corruption of this country. And we as Christians look at that and we go, woe to them, because they are just like Sodom and Gomorrah, just like Samaria, just like Babylon, and God is going to judge them. But this week in Ezekiel, he said, tell my people, Israel and Judah, you're worse. You are worse. Your sin is worse. Theirs is not half. You make them look like they're holy compared to your sin. And then he told them what their sin was. He said, I made a covenant with you. I rescued you out of your sin. I paid for your sin. And I poured my love on you. I came to you and I bought you. And I made a blood covenant with you. And I made you mine. And you covenanted with me to love me and let me be your God. And then you broke the covenant. And you left me. And your mind and your heart is after everything else but not after me. And that is a worse sin than what they did. That is worse. And he goes on to say, so hard times are coming to you. Because I have tried. I have begged you to come back to me. But you didn't come back to me. And no matter what I've done, I just want to love you. I want a relationship with you. But you keep going after everything else. You have a whorish heart. And because you won't come back, I'm going to take away the things you own. And I'm going to bring sickness. And I'm going to send you into captivity. And I'm going to let other people oppress you. And I'm going to let these terrible things happen to you because I just want you to turn around and come back to me and know that I am the Lord God. There's a purpose for the hard things that are happening. And like my husband said this morning, he is being broken. He is being humbled. He is coming back to seeing God is holy. I am not. God wants my heart. He wants my life. He wants my attention. And he doesn't want it so he can make life hard on you. He loves us. Man, those two songs. Man, that one. I was just ready. I'm looking at her. Is that it? I'm ready. I got to go. I got to talk. She says, no, there's one more. I'm glad there was one more. Because he is coming. He's coming to America. Jesus is coming to America, and he's coming to America in judgment. America has judgment coming, and my heart has just been weeping and grieving because of that. But before he does that, he's coming to us, his people, because he wants us to return with all our heart to him so that we can bring his love and his mercy to win people unto God before it's too late. He has no pleasure in anyone. He said, do I have any pleasure in the wicked, death of the wicked? He said, I have no pleasure in their death. My pleasure is that they turn back to me. We have to let God live His love through us to turn people back to Him. That's just a little bit of an overview. But I want to talk to you about the preparations of Ezekiel, the training of God's man that He sends, because you, every one of you, can be God's man. All you have to be, not sinless, not perfect, just willing. Here I am, God, send me. And then there's the training. I'm going to overview something for you today, and then I don't know how we're going to do this. There are so many chapters to Ezekiel, and I just get stuck on verse 1, chapter 1 over and over. There's a time for this Ezekiel training, and there's some people who are going to submit to it. All of you are invited to submit to it. I keep thinking I want to do an Ezekiel lock-in, you know? Let's just Ezekiel Bible study every night until this consumes us. I don't know if we can do that. I'd like to do that. I don't know. And I'd like everybody to do it with me. But we have other responsibilities. I know that too. But something's going on here, and I want those that are being called into it to get in this with me. Ezekiel chapter 1. I'm just going to hit some highlights, and I want to give you an overview of how God is training. Ezekiel 1, 1b. Ezekiel says, I saw visions of God. I saw visions of God this morning on that last song. Oh, my gosh, it was like I was just standing right there looking in His eyes that were weeping, and everything in me was weeping with Him, and it was, you are so beautiful. You are so holy. You are so good and kind and wonderful and tender and meek and yet powerful. But your love is beyond human. It's amazing. And Ezekiel saw visions of God, and he saw Him in His holiness, and he was overwhelmed with this holiness of God. Have you ever just been like so troubled? I don't know what I'm going to do. Everything is awful. I'm frustrated. And then all of a sudden Jesus shows up, and you go, oh, it's all just going to be okay. Here He is. His peace is flooding over me, and He's just so wonderful. One time, he was talking to me about somebody that they weren't being good. They had bad attitudes. I mean, they really didn't deserve any mercy or kindness, and I didn't want anything to do with them. I mean, the way they were acting, it was like, I don't even want to get involved with them. But at the best, if I have to, God, if you make me go there, I'll go, you know, and then all of a sudden He shows up and He shows me His heart for that person. And He said, I want you to go and take My love, and I want you to bless them, and I want you to hold them, and I want you to love them. I want you to pour My love into this person because I'm grieving for them. And I'm like, God, You're so good. And all of a sudden my heart gets overwhelmed with this love of God. We don't have that. At best, the love we feel for a child doesn't even come close to what God, what His love is like. He's so amazing. When Ezekiel said, I saw visions of God, we need to see visions of God. Later on in Scripture, when he sees God again, and it says, he saw the glory of God. The glory of God is the personality of God. It's His gentleness and His love and everything that He is, His character. That's His glory. And every time Ezekiel saw that glory, he fell down on the ground on his face. He knew, God, I'm not worthy of You. God, You are wonderful, and I am not. I'm sinful, I'm selfish, I'm proud. But You are so beautiful and holy and wonderful, and I love You all anew. And he saw the glory of God, and he would fall in humility. And then the Holy Spirit forgive him and wash him all up. And then he would say, now stand up on your feet, Ezekiel, because I'm going to send you. Now, isn't that exciting? Wouldn't you like to be that man, that woman? Wouldn't you like to be that one who gets sent? Verse somewhere around 25, 28, after seeing this vision of God and getting stood back up on his feet, then Ezekiel says, and there was a voice from the firmament. There was a throne And this, oh, in 3:8, it says, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. The word of God came not to a group, but it came right down to Santiago and said, I'm talking to you. Isn't that cool? And it came like a beam of light, like a revelation. He said, you, Mercedes, this word is for you. Isn't that awesome? Don't you want his word to come expressly to you? Not to everybody, but with your name on it. And he said, get up on your feet. I'm talking to you, Ezekiel. I want him to be talking to me. I love it when I hear from him. And lately, he's been kind of silent. That one song said, I was silent like a lamb. I was silent for so long. Why? Because he wants his word to be so precious that when we hear it, we're going to value it. We're going to hold it. We're going to obey it. We're going to love it. We're going to say, oh, God, take not your Holy Spirit away from me. Oh, God, don't leave me out. Send me, God. Send me. Here am I. Send me. I want to take your voice. Take your love. This morning, I'm sitting over there, and I'm going, God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. I tried to share just a little bit of this with Roxanne yesterday, and we got people in here looking around, and I got hit in the spirit, and I'm like, oh, I'm screaming. I'm going, I'm going to scare people out of the building. But I got so caught in the spirit. She got caught in the spirit. We're both over there just crying, you know. I said, I don't know if it's time. I don't know. In preparing Ezekiel, he had to see a vision of God. And that vision of God had to humble him and bring him to the deepest repentance and a hunger for nothing but me and God. Me and God. That's it. Me and God. Whether I have a house or don't. Whether I have a family or not. You know, I got 6 kids, 5 married kids, 22 grandkids. Keep me up if I miss anybody. 9 great-grandkids. Right? Do I have any on the way? And one who's pregnant. They just grow like rabbits. I probably couldn't even name them all. And I'm lonely. And on top of that, I got Paula and her clan, so expand that number. And I'm still lonely. Because God is my whole life. I love them. I love them. But it breaks my heart. Most of them live so far away, they don't really know me. And God said, they'll know you in heaven. You'll have eternity with them. Yes, I have Janiyah and her 9 growing to 12 brood. But they're going to go to Africa. They're going to go there and live in Africa. I don't want to go to Africa. When I want to go have my afternoon coffee, I'm not going to Africa with Janiyah. And she's not coming to my house. My time with her is limited. I know that. My husband is a wonderful, I don't even know where, he's on the floor, of course. He's wonderful to me. He spoils me. I adore him. I don't even know how to pump gas. I tried last week and I had to ask a man at another pump to please take the cap off. And then Jackson pumped the gas. I can't even pump gas. But my husband's an evangelist. He's going to end up traveling again and preaching. I know he is. Because when he did before, I was alone a lot. I don't like to be alone. But God is my life. God is my life. And you know what? If they go to Africa, if he goes, if they die, if all of them are gone, God is my life. Amen. And we have to stand alone with him no matter what. I don't want to embarrass you, Scott, but I get so excited when I see you because one day when you came here, and Wesley, God told me, you are a man who will believe God to do the impossible. You will believe him to do things that others won't even believe him for. He told me that about you. And that excites me. Because when these end time things begin to happen, you're going to step into your place and you're going to proclaim miracles. Excited. I go, here he comes. Maybe it's time. It's awesome. Wesley, too. Wesley is so prophetic. And Wesley's going to be an end-time prophet. And you know what? That is God's call. Mercedes is going to be a preacher. That is God's call. But you know what? When your phone rings, you get a choice. Am I going to answer it? And you get a choice when God calls. Am I going to pick up the phone? Or am I just going to ignore God? You got to pick up the phone when he calls. You got to change your whole life. It can't be about what anybody else thinks of me anymore. It can't even be about what I want. It can't be about, is God going to heal this person I love or take them? You know what? Praise God. If he takes people from the evil to come, they're in heaven happy. We're the ones that are sad. But if he leaves you here, it's because you got a call. You need to be here and do your thing. Do that thing he put you here to do. And you know what the biggest enemy of it is? Pride. What will I look like? What will people think of me? And selfishness. Well, I don't want to. It doesn't feel good. I don't like it. Pride and selfishness can keep you away from God. Pride and selfishness. Ezekiel said, when I saw the glory of the Lord, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spoke. There is not anything better. Now he goes on, and God says to him in chapter 2, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak unto you. And he gives him strength, and he stands him up. And the Spirit entered into me, and when he spoke unto me, he sat me on my feet, and I heard him that spoke to me. Ezekiel's excited now. He's excited. Oh, wow, I've seen God. And you should read Ezekiel, what all he saw. It's amazing. And the Spirit enters into him. He forgives him. He stands him up. He gives him strength. And he says, I'm sending you, chosen man. And Ezekiel's excited. This is really going to be cool. Until God says who he's sending him to. He says, I'm going to send you to a rebellious nation. Stubborn people. My people, God says, my people are rebellious and stubborn. If I would have sent you to Africa, they would have repented. If I would have sent you to Sodom, they would have repented. But I'm sending you to America, and they are stubborn and rebellious. And they're going to give you mean looks, and they're going to make fun of you, and they're going to mock you, and they're going to go, you're crazy. Man, you're just one of those corner stand on the corner with your sign, doom is coming, you know. And they're going to laugh at you. And your friends are going to reject you. And you know what? They're going to reject me. God said, they're going to reject me. They're not going to hear you because they won't hear me because they love what they're doing. And they don't want to hear anything. So Ezekiel goes in the heat of his spirit. Have you ever done that? Yeah, I'm going to go tell people. I'm going to tell them to repent. I'm going to let them. I'm going to show them what they're doing wrong. I don't mind at all. God, send me. I'll point out their sin. That's how Ezekiel went. And God stopped him and said, oh, Ezekiel, you need some more visions of who I am because you can't go like that. And this is my point this morning, what God has shown me. There was this first time when he met God. This first time, overwhelmed with this love of God. That's our first love, meeting Jesus the very first time. But then we get caught up in our own spirit again. And people offend us and we get mad at them. And people do dumb things and we judge them. And then we do dumb and we judge ourselves and get mad at ourselves. And it's over and over. And then God says, Ezekiel, chapter 3. He says, Ezekiel, come on. I got a book for you to eat. And he brings this book full of God's words. And he says, now eat this. Digest it down in your belly until you own it. And for me right now, that is the book of Ezekiel that I'm eating until I own it. Ezekiel says, so I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat. He said, cause your belly to eat. Fill your bowels with these words. That's way down in your uterus, in the womb, where you birth things out of your life. And I did eat it, Ezekiel said. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey. But then later it became bitter down inside of me. And then God says, go unto the house of Israel and speak my words unto them. Because I'm not sending you to a people of a hard language. I'm sending you to your own people, my people. But speak my words to them, not yours. And he says, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their forehead. So don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. All my words that I shall speak to you, receive them in your heart. Hear them in your ears. And then go to them in captivity, to the children of your people. Speak to them, thus saith the Lord. He said, take my words. I sat there this morning and I said, God, do you want me to speak today? No answer. I said, God, do you want me to speak today? And all of a sudden, the whole thing flipped in me and I said, oh, God, I want you to speak today. God, I want you to speak today. God, I beg you to speak today because my voice has no power. Your words can reach down in these hearts and these spirits, transform lives. God, will you please come and speak today? Speak to us, God. Value his word, because when we don't value, when we do hear from him and we walk away and ignore him, he might go silent for a very long time again. And that is very, very hard when he goes silent. Don't let him go silent if he speaks to you today. So he brought Ezekiel back a second time. And the Spirit took him up. The Spirit took Ezekiel up into the presence of God. Now this time he said, He had this encounter with God, and then he went. Then he has another encounter of God, and he has to sit by the river for 7 days, astonished. And then God takes him up. He takes him up into the presence of God again. And he says, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. You see, if you don't have the visions, if you don't come into the presence of God, you can't carry the glory, because his glory comes from his place. You got to be visiting his place. You got to get caught up in the Spirit and be visiting his place. So there was a second time. First, he's alone with God. He meets God. Second, he sits by the river alone with God for 7 days. Then he thinks he's ready to go. And then down by verse 3, round 22, God says, I'm going to send you, Ezekiel. And he goes, here I am. You know, here I am. I'm ready. And God says, arise and go to the plain. Go out into this lone plain. There's nobody there, nothing there, just you and I. Go spend some time alone with me, and there will I talk with you. God is calling us, but he isn't calling you to just jump up and run. He's calling you to be with him. Because if you're not with him, then you can't go from the place of his glory. He's calling you to step out of everything and be alone with him. And we do it. We go, now I can go. And he says, take about 2 steps and then go get alone with me in another way for a long time. Go to the plain and be alone with me. So Ezekiel spends more time alone in this desert place, alone with God. It's not desert. Desert is sand. Okay, I'm going to take that back. A plain has something growing, right? Grass, wheat, flowers. It's vacant of people, but it has a lot of things growing. There's life there. Sometimes we go to the dry desert. We don't even sense God. We don't even hear him, but it's still him. Sometimes we go to the plain where there's life going on, but we're alone with God in the midst of that life. Sometimes we're caught up into the mountain with God. Sometimes we're, number 4, the last time he says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel's ready to go again. And then he says, go shut yourself up in your own house. Shut yourself up with you for a while. Go get alone with yourself. Do you know people are afraid of their own thoughts? They're afraid. That's why when you're alone, you turn on the television, turn on the radio, call a friend, read a book. What about just sitting down alone with you? Here I am, God, shut up in my own house. Search me, God. What's going on in me? Let me face me for a while. Shut up in my own house. Let God search you. Prepare you. Change your whole world. spend some time in the glory, in the presence of God. That was my first, and I gave it to you in a nutshell. I hope we're going to get together and study Ezekiel slowly. But I want to give you a little overview. So I took those first 3 days, and then I sat down and did my own little review. I said, I've seen visions of God. Where have I seen him? What has he said to me? When did I meet him? How did it change my life? If meeting him didn't change your life, you might not have met him. Or maybe, like Israel, you just turned and went some other directions. And God is saying, turn back. Come back. I made you. I created you for a purpose. I have a plan. And you can't get happier than being in my plan, even if my plan involved you getting crucified on a cross, burnt at a stake. You couldn't be more satisfied than to live the plan I made for you. But you know what? He's not really going to burn you at a stake this week. But he might take some things out of your life. He might change some things in your life. And you might find out who you really are and what you're here for. And that would bring satisfaction to everything inside of you that is hurting and craving. If you walk with God, you can't walk with God by asking him to walk with you in your plan. This is what I'm doing, God. Will you bless it? This is what I want you to do. Will you do it? You can ask him those questions, but walking him with him is no matter what, I'm going where you want me to go, and I accept whatever you're doing in my life. Because I want you more than I want the things that I want you to do. Because I want that love of Christ, that glory of God. If you want the glory of God, you must see the glory of God. You must come from the place of his glory. If you don't spend any time admiring who he is, then who he is can't live through you. Begin to seek him. Where did I see him? Where did you see him? When did you see him? What has he ever spoken to you? What does he want? What does he look like? What does he feel like? Can you describe him? Can you explain him? Do you really know him? Maybe you just met him. You're just getting to know him. It's going to be good. I filled my little book for the next few pages with all the visions I've had of God, all the places. We've been deep sea diving in the caves and caverns under the ocean. We've been hidden inside of the mountain in our little secret meeting. We've been behind the waterfall in our little place. We've been on the picnic blanket out in the field. We've walked in the river and picked up stones. We have been to the top of the mountain of God and looked out over all creation, looked at the mountain of evil where Satan rules his dominion. We've walked to the beach. We've walked on water. We've hidden in my closet and wept together. I saw the Holy Spirit take all my tears and weep out my pain one day, pains of rejection and hurt. And I saw him as he showed me a big bucket where he had been weeping all my pain for me. And all of a sudden, my heart lifted and my burdens were gone just because he loved me so much. What are your visions of him? Do you have any? Do you know him? Have you met him? Have you given him your life? See, God is all about, be my people. Let me be your God. Give me your whole life. Serve me, and I will love you and take care of you. Come to me and give me your whole life. And if you will make that choice, that step of repentance toward me, then I will open the door to let you come to my son and bring all your sin, and his blood will pay for it. And he will become the bridge that covers your sin so you can come to me and give me your life. He's not there as your scapegoat. Well, I'm not going to serve God. I'm going to do whatever I want, but Jesus can pay for my sin. No. First step, repentance toward God. Second step, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't take step one, you're not entitled to take step two. Woe to those who trample underfoot the Son of God. He wants a relationship. If you've never met him, meet him. Come and give him your whole life. Bring your sins to Jesus this morning. If you've met him but been distracted, you don't want to hear the rest of Ezekiel. When he says, you have a whorish heart and you have crushed me by wandering from me repeatedly. You've crushed me. You have devastated me. You have broken me. Those words are in Ezekiel. Because of us just going away from God. Ignoring him, leaving him. Not loving him. Either way, for the very first time, turn to God today. For the 290,000th time, turn back to God today. God invites us, come. Come to me this morning and give me your life. Come this morning and answer your call. Enter your training. This training is nothing but awesome. What it means is repeatedly, come in my presence. Let me love on you and show you who I am and bless you and love you and overflow you with who I am so that you can go out and carry all that to other people. What an awesome training program. You don't even have to know how to read and write. You don't even have to be smart. Everyone qualifies. God is weeping. He's weeping for America. He's weeping for his people and he's weeping for this nation because we are already at the point where it's too late to say, save America. We are at the edge of the fall of America. It's coming. It's coming because she has chosen not to be a godly nation. Grip the hearts this morning, Lord. Grip hearts. Change lives. Call people to yourself. Open your arms to us this morning. Cry out to us this morning. Cry into the depths of our spirit so that at least when we leave here, we know you stood right here saying, come. Come. I want you. Come. We hear your call, God. Let us come. Thank you, Jesus. Nate? I was asking you. I'm sorry, I was asking you to come do worship. Do it right now, it fits. Okay.
I just want to share something really, really crazy with you. I didn't talk to you. I haven't talked to you. I only told my wife. Was it Friday or Thursday? On Thursday, was it Friday? Okay, Friday. I was caught up in the spirit. I had a dream, and it goes, I think I want to say this because it confirms what Sue said. It confirms the ministry on this church, and it also confirms something within me, which is my problem, or whatever you want to call it. I had a dream, and in this dream, the Lord told me to get on a train. And I got on a train, and he said, go to boxcar 11. I went, and so while the train was moving, and the train was on the way to a stadium full of people, and while I was on the train, he said, go to boxcar 11. So I walked through the different cars, and I got to boxcar 11. And he said, now I want you to start sharing the 11 message. Now, I this is not in me yet. I mean, something happened, but it hasn't hit me yet. But this goes along with. So when I woke up, so I started to preach this 11 message, and people just began to, like, they would just repent. I mean, people would scream out in repentance. People would scream like it was a matter of their life and death. And then God would say, now stop. Now come over here with me. And then he'd send me back again. He'd say, now preach the message 11. So I didn't know what 11 meant. So I wake up, and so the first thing I do is tell my wife, and I go to the, I don't know, concordance or whatever. I look up the number 11, and it says disorder and judgment. And then God gave me a, God showed me that that's not out there. That's right here. It's right here. I'm freaking out right now, man. I didn't tell anyone except my wife, and here I'm, a collision. So I just want to look. So while I was sitting there, I began to look up Ezekiel 1:11, Ezekiel 2:11, Ezekiel 3:11. Because those, I mean, it's obvious God gave me that number. And so I'll just take a second here. About 5 years ago, I don't know why, but you know that whole thing, wheels upon wheels, and that whole Ezekiel thing was like, it's completely crazy to me, but I was intrigued by it. And it's like been in my spirit for a long time. And I don't know what it means. I'm not pretending I do, but it's just really cool to me. Like you know, before I die, it's like, I want to figure that out, you know? So anyway, so this kind of pertains, and it's in Ezekiel 1:11. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And that's the glory. Like, that's the glory. And that's what's in my spirit. It's like God's been getting my spirit is that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. And, I mean, I could go on to chapter 2:11 and chapter 3:11. And, I mean, I'm like, this is crazy. A collision course this morning of, wow, wow. So I just want to also say, since I'm up here publicly, that confirms this church. It confirms what God's doing. It confirms in so many levels of what God is doing. Not you or me, but what God's doing. And he works through people, obviously, but it's just really crazy. I mean, this shook me so bad. One day I was like breathing heavy for like 3 hours afterwards. I mean, I felt like I left the planet and I came back, and I woke up and I kept going, like I couldn't get my breath. It was so real, and so that's what I wanted to share.